The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Democratic National Convention will wrap up in Chicago this evening with a speech from the nominee, Kamala Harris. But last night, former US President Bill Clinton addressed the crowd along with Vice President nominee Tim Walz. Our reporter, Josh Crosby, was at the Republican National Convention last month, and he joins me now to talk about the Democratic event. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How did it compare?
Well, this is one of the main reasons that I've been keeping an eye on this and watching the Democratic Convention, just to see how different it is to the Trump Fest I was at in Milwaukee. And look, American politics is American politics, and the theatrics are still very much part of it all. The celebrity appearances, the colourful outfits, and something I was a bit surprised with when I went there was the personalised insults directed at the opposition. And the reason I was surprised with this is because it's not something we're used to hear yet, thankfully, but there was still plenty of this at the DNC as well. They didn't hold back from slagging Trump, Obama, Hillary Clinton. They all gave their take. I think so far, I'm not sure about yourself, but out of all the speeches, Michelle Obama seems to hit the spot. Even the standing ovation she got from the crowd.
She nailed Trump.
This is it. This is it. And let's start off with a segment from Bill Clinton's speech last night. Now, he spoke for just under half an hour, so this is only a snippet of what he had to say.
Kamala Harris is the only candidate in this race who has the vision, the experience, the temperament, the will, and yes, the sheer joy to get something done. I mean, look, what does her opponent do with his voice? He mostly talks about himself. So the next time you hear him, don't count the lies. Count the eyes. Count the eyes. His vendettas, his vengeance, his complaints, his conspiracies. He's like one of those tenors opening up before he walks out on stage like I did, trying to get his lungs open by singing, me, 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 me. When Kamala Harris is president, every day will begin with you, 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 you.
He hasn't lost it. He did point out as well that even at his advanced age, he's younger
still
than
younger,
Donald Trump.
Still younger, yeah.
He couldn't have done that, of course, if Biden was running. So
no.
There. Anyway, the everyday American, Josh, how are they feeling about the forthcoming election?
Well, you see, with this American college football classic taking place in the Aviva on Saturday, there are over 25,000 visitors from the US this week. So they're here on their holidays to support either Georgia Tech or Florida State University. And I suppose the last thing they probably want to be doing is talking about politics back at home. But it was a great opportunity for me to hear how they're feeling about the election and what they think of the change just in the Democratic Party in terms of the switch from Biden to Harris, because we have seen the bounce in the polls. We're also hearing how Kamala Harris has managed to sway some of the younger voters back in, even with this group of voters still torn over the stance on Gaza. I suppose a new face at the helm seems to have won over some younger voters. I met with a mixture of Americans from across the US of all different political beliefs to hear how they're feeling leading up to the election.
Republican and Democrats need better candidates to run for office.
So even though you're not happy with the candidates put forward, will you still be going out and voting?
I will still vote.
The feeling is they're all confused because both parties need to reorganize. They're for themselves and not for the people.
The Democrats will say they did reorganize and they're coming out firing again. You don't think so?
No, Democrats will never change. They've got one agenda and they stick to it.
And what about the Republicans? Are you hoping Trump will get back in?
Well, I'm not sure.
You're still making your mind up?
Yes.
I'm more concerned about women's rights right now. Roe versus Wade being overturned. Our democracy is just in chaos right now. And I think with Harris, if she does get elected, I think people would be a little bit more at ease than what it is right now. Right now, the hate that's going on, it's not just people of color, it's also based on religion.
I know there's a lot of misconceptions about the U.S., but generally for the young people, you know, we don't want to see Trump win because there's a lot of hate, you know, going around.
Has Harris know, has that changed anything for young
certainly,
voters?
I think so for young voters. It's rejuvenated the whole field, the whole election. It's just going to be an interesting outlook. It's close.
And who are you hoping to get into the White House?
I typically vote Democrat, so probably Harris.
So were you glad to see Biden step down?
Frankly, yes. I think he did a great job, but I do think there was legitimate concerns about the age.
I just wish that we had better candidates running. I mean, I think we have a great nation, and this is what we have. I mean, it's sad.
Now, some American tourists on the streets of Dublin sharing their views on the forthcoming election. Now, back to the convention for a minute, Josh. What can we expect on the final night?
Well, this is the big one, Pat. So on the final night, the finale of the convention, the presidential nominee will give their speech, likewise to the Republican convention. So that's one formality they have in common. Tonight's theme is For Our Future. And we know Kamala Harris has been fairly quiet when it comes to speaking to an audience as of yet. She's not given any formal interviews or press conferences since she was unofficially named as the nominee. So Democrats, Republicans and those undecided who we heard there in the clip, they'll be keeping an eye on her speech later tonight to get a sense of the person who she is. The idea is at conventions that the delegates and supporters will come away with enthusiasm and hit the ground running, knowing the aims and attitudes of their hopeful candidates. Now, last night it was quite late when we heard that Oprah Winfrey was going to be appearing. So will there be more celebrity endorsements tonight? Who knows? There have been rumours or speculation all week if Beyonce will show up. But look, I'm sure they'll have some more surprises left in store. But we'll give another taste of what happened at last night's convention. We'll hear from Vice President nominee Tim Walz, who's the governor of Minnesota. But I thought a fitting segment to use from his speech last night, given the American football game in Dublin this week, is when he used his experience of being a coach as a bit of an analogy, if you like. First in this clip, we'll hear from Oprah Winfrey. They both say Harris is the woman for the job.
Despite what some would have you think, we are not so different from our neighbors. When a house is on fire, we don't ask about the homeowner's race or religion. We don't wonder who their partner is or how they voted. No, we just try to do the best we can to save them. And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady, well, we try to get that cat out too. Because we are a country of people who work hard for the money. We wish our brothers and sisters well, and we pray for peace. We know all the old tricks and tropes that are designed to distract us from what actually matters, but we are beyond ridiculous tweets and lies and foolery. These are complicated times, people, and they require adult conversation.
Let me finish with this, team. It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal. But we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field. And boy, do we have the right team. Kamala Harris is tough. Kamala Harris is experienced and Kamala Harris is ready. Our job for everyone watching is to get in the trenches and do the blocking and tackling. One inch at a time. 1 yard at a time, 1 phone call at a time, 1 door knock at a time, 1 $5 donation at a time. We're going to leave it on the field. That's how we'll keep moving forward. That's how we'll turn the page on Donald Trump. When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
Thank you.
And that's the Democratic nominee for vice president. What a fiery speech from Tim Walz. And before that, the wonderful oratory of Oprah Winfrey. Now, we heard from some US visitors who are still undecided, but are there many Trump fans in town?
Oh, there are, Pat, there are. So we even have some Irish who are big fans of Trump, and not just those living near his hotel. We've seen as the teams playing here now on Saturday at the American football game are from Florida and Georgia. So they would usually have been kind of red states, but in 2020, Georgia surprised analysts by voting for Biden. So it's been tipped this year now as a swing state for this election. I met with some Trump fans out and about enjoying Dublin, and it brought me back to the Republican convention in Milwaukee. They really do despise their rivals. We'll start with Vincent, who's from New York. New York would be largely Democratic, but Vincent said he's worried about the election.
If Kamala gets in, America is finished. And if America is finished, the world is finished. She's a Marxist in Marxist clothing. She's Biden 2.0, okay? They're all the same. It doesn't matter if it's Biden. It doesn't matter if it's Kamala. It's the Democratic Party. It's the party of the far left progressive It's not your father's Democratic Party anymore of John Kennedy.
Are you feeling confident that Trump will get back in?
No, I think because you have to fight the Democratic Party and you have to fight the media and the press and social media. They, I think, will bring her over the line and then we're finished.
What do you think could be done to propel Trump in there? What does the Republican Party need?
Bring over those independent voters. And he has to say, you may not like me personally, but you don't want her sitting down with Xi or Putin. And women have to get over it. They may not like his tweets, but he's going to protect them. He's going to protect them because their daughters are being killed in the streets by illegal immigrants.
I'm feeling that people need to understand that we are not going to become a communist country and we need to vote for Trump.
And would you have always been a Republican or is just since
Trump? I've always been independent and I choose who I feel runs the country the best for the people of America. And I want to have America back where we were 4 years ago.
And as a woman, you don't see this as a new time to have a woman in the White House?
I was a woman owner and it made no difference to me. I did what I did in my career and it was because I love what I did, not because I'm a woman.
And are you feeling confident? Are you feeling confident that Trump will get in again?
I pray he gets in again. But, you know, I think if Kamala gets in, we're a real mess. She ruined California. I just hope that we're smart enough to put somebody in who had the country in the right direction.
Now, there are some Republican voters on the streets of Dublin. They're over for the football game, which is happening in the Aviva on Saturday. Listening to all of that, Lorcan Nyhan, head of training with the Communications Clinic, columnist with the Sunday Independent. Lorcan, good morning.
Morning.
So, what did you make of the first 3 days of the convention? Lots of hoopla, for sure.
Yeah, lots of hoopla, lots of energy. Look, it's been impressive, and if Harris can stick the landing this evening, they'll get that kind of 3-4% convention bounce from this convention. So it's been impressive. It's been particularly impressive thus far over the 3 days with the absolute structure and adherence to the themes. So, I mean, every good speech, every one of the primetime speeches hit three marks consistently. Number one, the personal message of Kamala Harris, that she is the joyful warrior for the people versus Trump being the narcissist who is only for himself. And we heard that from the Bill Clinton speech earlier on, that, you know, count the eyes as well as the lies. The second theme we've seen consistently is that underlying message of we're not going back. The turn the page, which is what Tim Walz said last night. We're done with that. We're bored by him. And can we just move on and get to normality? And then the third message, which was for Democrats specifically, not for swing voters, for Democrats, which was the keep going, keep fighting. We'll make mistakes. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Don't be our own worst enemies and just keep the eye on the prize for 70 something days. So every speech went under that theme. That's a phenomenally effective organizational feat. And I think that's what we'll hear now tonight from Kamala Harris as well.
Yeah. Now, have you seen her speak? Because I saw her launch her economic program to a relatively small crowd, packed to capacity, but not a big venue. And she was thoughtful and effective, but I'm not sure she has the kind of fire that Tim Walz has.
No, and she isn't that kind of fiery speaker. She's a good speaker and has become a very good speaker over the last number of months. I mean, if anybody wants to see the journey she's been on, have a look on YouTube and look at her 2012 convention address, the only other time she spoke to a live convention. It was not very good at all. She wasn't able to bring that fire. She wasn't able to kind of engage and enthuse the audience. It was not a good speech. We've seen in the rallies that she is able to now command a room and command a crowd. She's not going to hit the heights of a Michelle Obama. She's not going to have it as a pep rally like Tim Walz. This will be a nail the message, tell your story, you'll get the enthusiasm and get off the stage.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is we've seen cheerleaders at football games, but there definitely will be cheerleaders in the room. In other words, you know, who'll stoke up that spontaneous quote unquote applause, who shout the mantra back, we're not going back, all that sort of thing. So she will be helped by the crowd, a willing crowd.
hugely helped by a willing crowd. You can lose a convention if you go on too long. I think Trump and his convention probably cost himself a bit. He just, because he kept going on and he went off script and got a bit lethargic himself. And the crowd won't stay with you if you don't play the hits. But if you play the hits that they're expecting, the Democrats are in good form. The protest movement doesn't seem to have made its way into the convention center. So, I mean, she's got a willing audience in front of her. I suppose the skill of a convention address is that you keep the willing audience in front of you engaged and enthused, but you don't forget that they're not really who you're speaking to. Yeah. You know, this is her launch, just her prime time address. She's speaking to the people watching. She's speaking to the Democrats who don't go to a convention, but you need them to knock on doors. She's speaking to the independents. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep them happy with a middle ground message while injecting enthusiasm into the room? But as you say, she's got her lines. She has a pretty good stump speech now that the crowd like. She'll stick to that. And to be fair to her, she's shown a capacity to ignore pollsters and ignore people to tell her to modulate her message, and she knows what hits the right notes.
Now, the cast of characters that the Democrats assembled for the convention was enormous and talented, but a surprise maybe, Olivia Troy is a former national security advisor to Vice President Mike Pence. She called for Republicans to support Kamala Harris.
4 years ago, I resigned from the Trump administration. As a Republican who dreamed of working in the White House, it was a hard decision. But as an American, it was the right one. I saw how Donald Trump undermined our intelligence community, our military leaders, and ultimately our democratic process. Now, he's doing it again, lying and laying the groundwork to undermine this election. It's his MO to sow doubt and division. That's what Trump wants, because it's the only way he wins. I grew up in the kind of working family that Trump pretends to care about. Conservative, Catholic, Texan. July 4th was our most sacred holiday. Those values made me a Republican. And they're the same values that make me proud to support Kamala Harris.
So there's a former insider in the Trump administration, having left him after the events of January the 6th, calling on other Republicans who despise Trump to get on board the Kamala Harris bandwagon. But are Republicans likely to respond in any great numbers?
So who they're targeting there is the 20-ish percent in various Republican primaries who voted for Nikki Haley instead of Donald Trump. So that group who do not want Trump but are still Republicans. It's been a theme throughout each of the nights. There's been some Republican speakers. You also had the Lieutenant Governor from Georgia, former Republican, Jeff Duncan, speaking last night as well. What they're trying to do is create a permission structure for those diehard Republicans who at the moment, I'd say, are not voting at all, for them to turn out and vote for Democratic candidates. So both of them last night had lines which were along the lines of voting for Kamala Harris does not make you a Democrat. It makes you a patriot. So the idea being that you hate the Democrats. We get you hate the Democrats. This doesn't make you a Democrat. It reminds me actually of, do you remember, what was it, Michael Noonan or Phil Hogan in the 2011 election here, who asked Fianna Fáil to lend Fine Gael their vote, Fianna Fáil voters to lend the vote. You're not really voting for us. You're just lending it to us for this one. Mm-hmm. It's similar, creating a permission structure to allow people to do it. And there is a block there who voted for Nikki Haley, not because they like Nikki Haley, but because they didn't like Donald Trump. You get a segment of that in key areas, and that can make a difference. So it's clever, clever politics.
Now, a lot of good lines during the week. The House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, described Trump like an old boyfriend who just won't go away. And the way this is communicated is interesting because, you know, a sentence or two will make its way onto social media and will be found on TikTok and other platforms. And that's where a lot of young people get their news.
Yeah, and it's all about, I suppose, amplifying that through social media. I mean, last night as well, which I thought was particularly clever, you know, what was Bill Clinton's, you know, attack by saying, look, the only vanity I'll show here is I'm 78, but I'm still younger than Donald Trump. Again, it's all designed to slightly and subtly, or maybe not so subtly, undermine Donald Trump. They're going for more directly. And I think there's a wider strategy at play. If they can get maybe a 5 or 6 point lead in one or two of the central polls, as well as the fact that they're constantly needling Donald Trump. Not all of his supporters are watching this convention, but we know from his Truth Social that Donald Trump is, they're trying to put him off his game, to aggravate him and to be the worst version of himself, which is petty and lashes out. Between a polling lead and, I mean, people like Bill Clinton, people like Barack Obama consistently needling him, mocking him, which is effectively what they're doing, will get to Trump. And you're always trying to put your opponent off their game. This is their chance to do that. And they're going for it directly.
Lorcan Nyhan, Head of Training with Communications Clinic, columnist with the Sunday Independent. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.